this the podium to use? Is that correct? The one, use this one? Or this one here? Should we take a vote? Or is this? If it's all right, I'll go with this one. Is that okay, everyone? All right. Let's see here. Got a little rusty wheel, but that's all right. Okay. Great to be with you guys this morning. I am Tony Myers. Hey, Scott, Abby, how you doing, guys? Good to see ya. Oh, surprise. I've over time met folks from y'all's assembly, and this is the first time I've been here, and it's a pleasure to be here indeed. Like I said, I'm Tony Myers. Grew up in North Carolina. I've lived the last 8-plus years in Waterloo, Iowa, and I have a wife. Her name is Charity, and I have 4 kids. They are ages 9, 7, 5, and 2, and so love them dearly. They are at home in, let's see what time it is officially. It's 11:10, so they are in Sunday school right now, and I'm trusting the Lord that they're doing okay back in Waterloo, Cedar Falls. I have a number of jobs I do back in Waterloo, part-time jobs. My big dream is I write fiction books, and so I have 5 published, and just working on those, just seeing if promoting them, marketing, still writing, and just seeing if someday I can make a business out of that. So that's my, like I say, have part-time jobs, but that's my, I guess you'd say, the dream I'm pursuing right now. It is good to be with you guys, as I said, and that's all in the way of introduction, so why don't we get started with a word of prayer, and then we will get to the message. So let's go ahead and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning that we've had already here at Atlantic Gospel Chapel. Lord, we thank you for the Lord's Supper meeting we had, a time of focusing on the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. Thank you for the guys who shared. Thank you for the thoughts that were brought out, the hymns that were sung. And Lord, just thank you for the whole concept of the Lord's Supper, that the bread and the cup, they're passed around freely, and just we can freely take of you in a sense, God. I know it's a symbol, but it is a powerful symbol. So thank you for all that represents. Lord, help us now as we're going to get our Bibles out and we're going to seek to learn what you would have for us this morning. I pray for myself as I speak, Lord. I pray that I wouldn't get in the way of the text, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower me to speak boldly your word, Lord. I pray that and acknowledge that I do not want to give a message outside of your guidance, your direction, Lord. As says in the book of John, apart from you, we can do nothing. And so I don't want to just have a crafty, clever message, but I want one that works in the hearts and lives of all of us here. So I pray that you would open all of our hearts this morning, God, including my own, as I feel like I need this message. Lord, we pray that what we look at in Scripture may not go in one ear and out the other, but it truly would penetrate our hearts and change our lives. Lord, even if it's just a little bit, I pray that when we walk out of the doors of the chapel this morning, I pray that we're a little different than when we came. And so we ask for your help this morning, God. And we do pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This year, I am reading through the Bible. Like, my style is I just, open the front cover, Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to stop until I finish Revelation. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I am traditionally not a Bible reader, okay? I would consider myself more of a Bible studier, if that makes sense. Like for my personal devotion, personal time in the Word, I like taking like 5 to 10 verses, and, you know, examining them, studying them, taking notes. I'm that kind of guy. But I know others are more Bible readers. You know, every year maybe read the Bible through. There's a fella in our chapel back in Waterloo Cedar Falls, and the beginning of the year came around, and I was like, I'm gonna read the Bible this year. I probably have only read it through cover to cover 4 times in my life. And so, you know, going to do it for a 5th time. I was like, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. It might take me a little longer, but I'm going to do it. And this other fella, his name is Darwin, he said, yeah, I'm going to do it too. This sounds good. And I didn't know it, but he is a Bible reader. And so come May, he was like, oh, I'm about done. I was like, done with what? The Bible. I was like, oh, okay. I'm a little behind. And so, just as a poll, this would just be fun. Okay, so you know, it's good to be a good balance of both. You know, good to read the Bible and good to study the Bible, you know. It's just you know, your blink instinct here. How many of you guys would say out of the two, you'd be more Bible readers? That's your style, just naturally Bible readers. Anyone out there? All right, you know, we got some Bible. How many people would say they're more Bible studiers? They like the 5 to 10 verses. All right, well, very good. You guys are slightly more studiers. Okay, very good. Our chapel in Waterloo, it was probably about 2/3, maybe 75% readers. And so you guys are the studiers here. Okay, I'm getting on a tangent. But anyway, I'm reading the Bible through. And I've been working through the major prophets, okay, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, Daniel, and working through those, I'm about done, and those are tough books because there's a lot of passages in those books about judgment, destruction that is coming onto the nation of Israel and Judah. Again, there's some tough reading. You know, Isaiah, yes, there's some chapters that are chapters of praise and hope, and some in Ezekiel, but particularly Jeremiah is, you know, called the weeping prophet. And so Jeremiah might be my toughest book to read through. And then Jeremiah even has a book called Lamentations. You know, you think of the word lament, you know, it's... it's a tough book. But in these books of judgment coming, there are passages of hope. There are glimmers of hope that shine out amidst the books of destruction, of these books of judgment. You think of the nation of Israel was conquered by Assyria in 722 BC. Judah, Babylon started coming in 605 BC. Books of judgment, books of, you know, this is why judgment, because sin is coming. But amidst that, there are glimmers of hope that shine out. Let's open our Bibles up to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We can see, once again, amidst the destruction that's coming, we can see some verses of promise. And so I'm going to entitle the message this morning, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises. Jeremiah chapter 29. It's often a quoted chapter. There's a couple verses in here that are quoted, memorized, and I think that's a good thing. But I think when you examine the context and truly look at these verses in context, it makes them even more powerful. Jeremiah 29, let's look at verse 4 just for some context, okay? Verse 4, Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? So he's going to give a decree to the captives. You can see, once again, they're going to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Captivity is coming. Now, I know sometimes when we think about the captivity, we think of Daniel. We think of Daniel in Babylon, you know, braving his friends, braving the fiery furnace, braving the king. And I think sometimes we have a romanticized view of Daniel and just the whole idea of captivity. But this is very serious. Think about another nation coming in and wiping out your town and taking prisoners. You know, it's almost a foreign concept we have in America. Like we, you know, praise the Lord for our peace in the nation. And I know it, we're not a perfect nation and have perfect peace, but I think we do have a lot to be thankful for when you really think through a captivity coming in. Babylon taking over the nation of Judah. So captivity is coming. Time of destruction, a time of imprisonment, a time of death. Not pleasant. It's coming. But then, in amidst this whole context of destruction, judgment, captivity, let's go to verse 10. For thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 29, verse 10, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. God gives them a promise. Captivity's coming, but one day you're going to return. Okay, you're going to return back to this land. Yes, it's going to be bad. One day you're going to return. And you think of the book of Nehemiah particularly, when he returned to rebuild the wall. So you got an initial promise amidst the destruction. One day you're going to return. Remember that. Plant that seed in your mind. And then let's read verses 11 and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God is not going to give up on them. He has future plans for them, future thoughts. He is not done with them. The nation won't be completely wiped out. Their nation, their name won't be wiped off the face of the earth completely. No, there is a future that is coming. Now, your Bible might say, might translate it plans or thoughts in verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, or I know the thoughts. You think of the idea that God has thoughts of their plans. Like they're, it's very kind of a synonymous thought here, or synonymous idea. In the end, it's the same. God has thoughtful plans of them. They have a future. And I think of our theme that I said, standing on the promises. This is what promises do for us. Promises in the Bible. They give us both a future and a hope. I'm currently reading this book by John Piper called Future Grace. Okay? Future Grace is the name of it. It's a thick book. And the whole idea of the book, it's like a 400-page book. But the simple premise of that book, Future Grace, is as a Christian to think about the future, okay? And I know that sounds really simple, but he unpacks it, and it's actually really profound. The idea is like you're going through trial right now. Your life, you know, just in earth, we have trials, ups and downs. We cling to the future as Christians when these promises will be ultimately fulfilled. Point your mind to the future. Yes, we recollect on the past and we remember what God has done for us. But yes, direct your mind to the future when God will fulfill what he has said, when God will finish what he has started. God says that these people have a future. They're not going to be completely wiped out. The name of Israel, the name of Judah, the Israelites, they're not going to be totally gone. If you know the book of Daniel, you think of how Nebuchadnezzar, he tried to make all the kids Babylonians. No, he's not going to fully do that. No, they're going to have a future. And they're also going to have a hope. Okay, a hope. Now, when you hear that word hope, what do you think of? What does it make you do? Kind of makes you smile. You have hope. You're in despair, but all is not lost. You have hope. I remember a few years ago, it was Super Bowl 51, the Falcons against the Patriots. And you remember that Super Bowl? I remember watching it. And the Falcons were up by a lot, and it was like a lot of people called the game, like, oh, this game is over. Falcons are ahead by a lot. And there was always, like, hope was always just never completely gone. It was like, okay, if the Patriots get, they have to get this play. This is their last chance. It was their last bit of hope. And there was a lot of things like that that happened. Okay, this is, they got to get this. Okay, it's like they just had a little bit of hope, a little bit of hope. They had one more chance. It wasn't completely mathematically gone. And then, as has happened a lot the last 20 years in football, the Patriots won again. Okay? But that's the idea. You know, it's not all, you have that glimmer, that seed, that all is not lost. You have that hope. There is still a hope. There is still a chance. And in the Bible, when you see God say you have a hope, it's not just I hope so. No, no, no. It's like a future promise that you look toward. It's our hope. It should want make us smile. Amidst all the destruction that's coming, you have a hope. God wasn't finish with them. He hadn't destined them to fail. It would not be the end. Let's read again verses 12 and 13. Okay. Verse 12 again. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God gives them the promise that he will listen to them. They can pray to him and they will listen. God's not going to close his ears to them. No, God hasn't forgot about them. God is listening. The access is still there. I was reading this past week in a book by Tim Keller on prayer, and Keller made an interesting statement. He said, prayer is a gift from God. And I was like, whoa, like a spiritual gift? But then he unpacked it. No, it's a gift from God. Think about it, that access we have to God, to go to God freely. Praise the Lord. In many regards, it is a gift. Think about it that way. God says that is still going to be there. You can call upon me, and I'm going to listen to you. It's a promise. The access is still there. He says, seek me and you will find me. It's a promise. Does that sound like any other verse in the Bible? Seek and you shall find. Remember Matthew chapter 7? Yes, that's right. We seek the Lord. He can be found. Let's look at verse 14.
I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God is going to bring them back. They're going to return. You know, in many regards, yes, God fulfilled this, like you think about Nehemiah rebuilding the wall, Ezra rebuilding the temple. Yeah, there's a fulfillment of Israelites coming back. But in many regards, we see this even today, the nation of Israel being gathered back or has been gathered back in the last 100 years. So there's the promise. Captivity is coming. Yes, it's going to be bad. If you read the book of Jeremiah, it's going to be bad. If you read Lamentations, it's going to be bad. But there's promises to cling to through it all. There is a future. There is a hope. Now, oftentimes these verses, sometimes I hear verse 11 quoted. And I think it's good. I think it's a good verse to quote, to have memorized. But I would encourage you to remember the context. For one, it makes this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you remember the context, it makes the verse so much more powerful to think about it. Destruction, but yet the promise is there. My mother-in-law, she has a plaque of verse 11 in her home hanging above her door. And one day I asked her about that plaque, and she said that she got it from her brother's house. Her brother died in his mid-50s. And her brother, this was a struggle for him, this verse, because he had a long battle with cancer, and it wasn't pleasant. And, you know, how would God give him a future and a hope? And it was tough for him. It was tough amidst that struggle to cling to the promise. But recently my mother-in-law and I were talking about this, and you know, I was thinking, what a good verse to have on your wall. What a good reminder. I know it's not easy, you know, her brother's going through cancer. But what a promise that amidst the trials, amidst the hard times, the people of God will not be forgotten. God will not forget the people of God. God will not forget us as the people of God. What a promise. You think back to Judah, Israel. Destruction is coming. It's going to be bad. But hey, Jeremiah 29. The people of God are not forgotten. What a reminder. I need to go get myself a plaque to put in my house, you know. What a verse. The people of God will not be forsaken. The promises still stand, and we stand on them. Now, as New Testament Christians, we think of these verses, and I think, are there any promises we have as Christians? You know, are there any promises? What if we feel like we are abandoned? What if we're like, oh, I just feel all alone in this life? What's the promise from God? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's right, the promise stands true. What if we feel like, oh, God, I don't feel like you're directing me in life. Where are you leading me? Where are you guiding me? What has he given us as a guide? He's given us the Holy Spirit. And even though we may not feel direction at times, we may not see it, we believe he is guiding and directing us. There's a story about that. Last weekend, in fact, I was backpacking in a wilderness area. I enjoy backpacking and was out in this wilderness area in North Carolina. And a friend, it's like a gorge area. And so we were hiking around this area, and we found in a section of this area, this gorge wilderness area, some of the trails aren't marked real well. And so we ended up getting lost. And my friend Phil and I, we had to stop and pray a few times and just ask that the Lord would guide us and lead us. And we did take some wrong trails, have to turn around. But when we got back to camp, just got down on my knees and just, thank you, Lord, for leading us back to our tent, getting us back to our tent. It was 9:30 at night when we got back. We were stumbling along in the dark and crossing a river. And so it was quite an event. But, you know, even if we don't feel direction, even if we don't sense it per se, we trust in the promise that as followers of God, He's given us the Holy Spirit who's leading and guiding us. Well, what if we're at a place where we're like, God, I don't feel like my prayers are being answered. I don't feel like you're hearing me. Well, once again, Matthew chapter 7, knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and you shall what? Find. That's right. What if we feel like our needs aren't being provided? What if we're like, oh, God really provide for our needs? What does He say in Philippians chapter 4? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, these promises we have, we cling to them. And they're for the hard times. You know, we don't really cling to the promise of God providing for our needs if we're rolling in the cash money, you know? No, it's when we say, how are we going to make it this month? You know, oh, we got this big expense coming, that you say, I'm holding on to the promise that God will provide for our needs. You know, when you don't feel direction, that's when you hold on to the promise that God is directing us. And you know, you think of this idea, Jeremiah 29:11. He's given us hope. He's given us a future. As Christians, though, you know, I'll go back to my mother-in-law. Her brother ended up dying of cancer. Was that his ultimate future? No. What did the Lord Jesus say? I go to do what? Prepare a place for you. And so though, you know, we still, as people, Christians, we still pass away from cancer. There is still tragic loss. But what has God said? I have an ultimate future for you. I go to prepare a place for you. That is our ultimate future, our ultimate hope. Whether He heals from cancer or not, that's what we trust in. We have a future and a hope. These are the promises that we stand on for as Christians. And I'd like to say one more point in closing, one more promise that the Scripture says. God says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. That's right. Now, here at Atlantic Gospel Chapel, first time here, I don't know everyone. And so maybe you're here and, you know, you're being introduced to the Bible, to the Lord Jesus, to things of God. Introduced to the promises of God. Well, I'd like to tell you that is the most glorious, best promise in Scripture. That though we have sinned, we have done things that displeased God, our home originally is not in heaven. Our home is separated from God in a place called hell. But the Lord Jesus came to this earth, born in a manger, and you think about Christmas. He grew up, did did many miracles, loved people, taught us many things. He was a good teacher. He was much more than that, but he was. And then Jesus was led to a cross where he died for our sins in our place. And then on the third day, he rose again in victory. Jesus died on the cross and then rose again. And then the Bible gives us that promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise for sure. I know a verse that was really instrumental to me was Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then what is the promise? You will be saved. So if you're here at Atlantic Gospel Chapel, and if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know that promise of being saved, where God says, call to me, call out, trust in the Lord Jesus, receive him, you will be saved. If you don't know that or have questions about it, please don't hesitate to come talk to myself or talk to someone in leadership today. Let's claim the promises of God, and particularly that promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we stand on these promises today. Lord, you know, just naturally in this room, imagine we have some that are going through trials that are, you know, maybe not going through a captivity or something like that, but just there's sickness, there is direction that is needed, there's just general burdens. Lord, I pray that we would stand on the promises of God. Lord, I think of Jeremiah 29. Though the whole book of Jeremiah is tough to read at times, we have chapter 29 shining bright, that there is a future and a hope. And thank you that for us as Christians, we have many promises to claim. You will never lead us nor forsake us. You will provide for our needs. You've given us the Holy Spirit as a guide. And there's many others, God. Help us to stand upon these promises. And Lord, I do pray that if there be someone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, I pray that they would claim this promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I pray that they would trust in the Lord Jesus alone. So Lord, we do thank you for this chapel, and we do pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.